Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy. Thy loving kindness is wonderful and is great, and Thy goodness endureth forever. We trust in Thee, and we come now, as we study, to look to Thee for blessing. May Thy Holy Spirit take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. Our study now in the Gospel of Matthew is in the fourth chapter, and we're going to be looking at the first part of this chapter, which presents to us a very amazing incident. It's commonly called the temptation in the wilderness, and it refers and will tell us about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil. Let us begin to read in chapter 4 of Matthew in the first verse. This is what we read. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the then, if you will look back in the preceding chapter, will be just after he had been baptized by John. Just after the heavens had been opened and the Holy Spirit had come down upon him, and the voice from heaven had named him as the Son of God. When that voice from heaven had said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," the very next statement is, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness." And another, we know now that he is going to be tempted. And it's a matter of more than ordinary interest to see that he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. He went into this part of the country where he was going to receive the temptation, but he went there the way he was guided there. And that brings to our minds that the Spirit himself led the Lord Jesus Christ into a situation where he would be tempted. The Lord Jesus Christ went into this situation as an obedient person subject to the will of God. Now, what was the situation? He had just received from God a word that he personally was the well-beloved Son of God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He had just heard this. It makes me think of a person who has become a Christian. If you have lived some length of time before you were a Christian, you know what a wonderful change comes into your heart when you suddenly realize that you now are one of the people that will be spoken of and will be called a child of God. And right then, many of us can have memories and that will recall to us of the testings that we had immediately. And that's what happened here. When we read that Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, let's have in mind, so far as that word tempted is concerned, that you can use the word tested, to be tested of the devil. And by the way, here you will notice that the only thing that makes this whole passage meaningful is that the devil is a real being. He's a real person. This is not just talk. This actually took place like this. And so we read, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. By the way, that word fasting does not always mean that there will be no bread touch the lips and no water touch the lips at all. There can carry fasting to that extent, but fasting does mean that there is a setting aside of the usual procedures in feeding the body. A person does go without food and may even at times go without drink for a length of time. But the idea of fasting can be carried out even though a small amount of food or a certain kind of food might still be taken as well as drink. Nevertheless, it has the common idea, which is sound enough, that he went without food. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." Notice those words. "If thou be the Son of God." Why this? That's the last thing he had heard. "This is my beloved Son." Now the next thing that he gets is this question. "If thou be the Son of God." This reminds us of the occasion of the first man in the Garden of Eden, When Adam and Eve had been put in the Garden of Eden, you will recall, Satan came then to Eve, tempting her. And what he said to her was, "Yea, hath God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's just what God had said. So here he comes to the Lord Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God." And you and I should take special notice of this. Satan's approach, when he comes to test us, he's far too smart to just show us something that we might want that is out of the will of God. The first thing he does is to loosen our simple commitment to the revelation of God's will. If he can get us to the place where we're not sure what God wants, then we're open to his suggestions, whatever they may be. So he raises the question, "If thou be the Son of God." Now, God had said he was, but now the question is raised, "If thou be, command these stones be made bread." Put your idea to the test. Now, you see, putting the idea to the test might seem simple enough and innocent enough to a superficial look, but it isn't. If I put my friend to the test to find out if he's a friend, I've already conceded the possibility he's not a friend. If you and I are having dealings, and you want me to trust you, and I'm trusting you, and then the idea occurs to me, maybe you're not trustworthy, so unbeknownst to you, I go around behind your back, and I start investigating you. I have already conceded the possibility that you're unreliable. That's already what I've done. And people who say, "Well, we'll just try this out," have already committed themselves to the idea that there is a question in the matter. And so with reference to the Word of God. Now, I can understand a person that doesn't believe it. I myself grew to manhood and didn't believe the Bible. And I know what it is to be out there where you don't believe the Bible. But believe me, I can tell you right now that when you're living your life not believing in the Bible, you're not hiding behind it. You know right well that you're standing out on your own among men, and you're standing before whatever God there may be, your Creator, and you're standing on your own. Now, when a person does come to have dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I may say that so far as I'm concerned, my relationship with God depends upon a certain dealings that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he himself took the Scriptures as they were and endorsed them as they are. Now, for me, for example, for me to start in looking at the Bible as if it had faults in it, as if there were mistakes, I have already moved away from it. I have already conceded that it's open to question, and that's no way for a friend to do or a friend to be. So when he suggested to the Lord Jesus, "Put your ideas to the test," he was already moving over to the place where the Lord Jesus wouldn't follow, as he will answer right here. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," which is a way of answering the suggestion and the temptation, the testing of Satan, answering it fundamentally, basically, coming down underneath the whole thing. The only reason in the world he'd make those stones into bread is because he was hungry. And now he answers in this way. It's written in the Scriptures, man does not live by bread alone. By the way, where you have that word alone, in your own thinking, you could put the word only and it'll help you. Man does not live by bread only, because, so far as man is concerned and he has a physical body, he does live by bread, surely, but not only, not alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, man has a soul as well as a body. Man is a spiritual being as well as a natural being. Now, the natural man feeds on the bread, but the spiritual man feeds on the Word of God. And here comes something to light we should notice. The interests of the flesh, which can be satisfied with bread, and the interests of the soul, which can be satisfied in the Word of God, are not the same. There may come a time when you have your choice. Either you're going to reach for bread, or you're going to do the will of God. There are times when these two are not the same. And here was one of those times. And the Lord Jesus answered Satan, by simply saying to him, "It might be very fine for me to have food, but there's something else that's better than that. I'd rather be obedient to God than to have food. Man does not live only by bread. That's not the only thing about me, is that I have a body that's hungry. I have a soul and a spirit that is obedient to God, and I want to please God, and I'll do what God wants me to do." Then Satan, we read, takes him up into a high pinnacle and again says to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." And here comes to our mind something that's almost frightening. Satan can quote Scripture. And if we have only a pat answer out of the Bible, someone else will come out with another pat word, and he'll put it over against ours. If you just go by one word, someone else will have another word, and there you will be. And so Satan came quoting Scripture, and he quoted a true Scripture, something that really would apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee." That's really in the 91st Psalm, and really does belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan tempted him with it, tested him with it. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again." There's more Bible than that, more Scripture than that. And here comes out a wonderful truth about scriptural interpretation. Take the whole Scripture, not just one passage. And when you read a passage one place that seems to you to mean a certain thing, find out what it says elsewhere. There's one thing that you should be careful about in all Bible interpretation. Don't let any verse stand out by itself and then make out of it anything you can. No. Take that verse that you're interested in and see what the Bible makes out of it, comparing Scripture with Scripture. "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then Satan tempted him one more time, taking him up into a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world, said, "I'll give you all these if you worship me." But Jesus answered him in exactly the same way, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And so here we have, in this incident that we have read, a most amazing revelation of how the godly heart and mind can meet temptation. Now, temptation will come through the flesh, through the lust of the flesh, hunger, through the lust of the eyes, the idea of all the power that was available to him, through the pride of life, showing himself off in front of other people. But the temptation will come along that line. But temptation itself is not sin. Yielding is sin. But safety and deliverance is in the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus used the Scriptures, and he is our example. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our thinking about these things. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.